Why don't we stand one more time to pray together, amen, and pray and believe God for the wonderful anointing of the Spirit of God to flow. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everyone that's here this morning and all those that are watching by live stream and those that will be watching on television, on Spirit Alive Television across Canada and around our region in Thunder Bay. We thank you for the graciousness, the ability to preach your word through thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands a week across Canada and around the world. We thank you for the word of God going out boldly and strongly by the Spirit of God. We thank you for that privilege, and we are honored to do that. We thank you that this morning again we take this honor to preach the word of God to our city and all around. We ask you every heart to be open. I pray that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened, that they will know the hope of their calling and the riches of the glory of what they inherited through Christ Jesus our Lord, and what immeasurable power that's available for them, and that they're raised above every principality and power with Jesus to sit at the right hand. What an honor and privilege, Father. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would fill every heart, every hungry heart, to overflowing this morning in this session. I pray that they would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that they might know your love in great, great measure. I pray as they do that, they will not be just a hearer of the word of God, but a doer of the word. They'll begin to present the gospel in a presentable way to those neighbors and friends that would ask, Lord God, for direction, that would look for hungering in the things of God, that would hunger for your love. We give you praise for this miraculous time of encounter that we're having, a supernatural encounter. You told me years ago that every session that we minister would be a supernatural encounter for every person. I pray that the gifts of the Spirit shall and will operate. We thank you for the gifts of faith, the gift of working of miracles and healing shall operate. And we thank you for utterance gifts, the vocal gifts. We thank you for prophecy and tongues and interpretation of tongues. And we thank you for the spirit of seeing and knowing, the revelation gifts, the discerning of spirits, or in the word of knowledge, and Lord God, in the word of wisdom. We thank you for an advance, stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your Holy Child Jesus. And Father, let my preaching and teaching not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but let it be in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that their faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And everybody said, amen, amen. And amen. All right, go ahead, be seated. I thank you again, once again. Let's go to our Bibles. If you're watching, I think I'm going to have to give this to somebody here. Wait a minute. I was so excited I forgot to do something. So allow me to get ready here. Here we go. Okay. If you turn in your Bibles, we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to continue on our, our topic, and that is prayer. And this morning we're going to cover the prayer of commitment. I was supposed to do this last week, but I was away last week and I was preaching in Geraldton. And you'll get to hear this double time now, so it'll be different. So we're going to go to our golden text, and Ephesians 6:18 and John chapter 15 verse 7. We're going to read those in the King James Bible, and we're going to go to Matthew 26 and verse 39 for what we're going to teach specifically about this morning. And so we're going to talk about the prayer of commitment, or committing ourselves to the Lord. We just finished writing an article across that we sent across Canada. My wife and I sent an article, or we were completed one. If you want to get our articles, go online and go to our website, or go to the Spirit Alive newsletter section, and you can read all our material on there. And we send one every 2 months. And some people tell me they use my teachings, and they teach on it and preach on it. Some pastors said they use it for a Sunday morning service. Praise God. Amen. So anyway, let's go to Ephesians 6:18. You got it? And it'll be on your screens if you don't have a Bible. And it says over here, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto at all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The Bible says praying always, but I want you to focus your attention on the words all prayer. The Amplified Bible says all kinds of prayer, all matter of prayer, I believe it is. And different versions of the Bible tells us that we should pray always. That means be ready to pray always with all manner of prayer or all kinds of prayer. And so there are all kinds of prayers in the Bible that are, you know, numbered up for us and taught to us by the Spirit of God. And one of the prayers, of course, is called the prayer of commitment. So we want to talk about that in reference to following the plan of God tonight or today for ourselves. It's really night out. It says in here, supplicating in the Spirit and supplicating for all saints. The word supplicating is the word that tells us that this is not a casual prayer, Lord bless them. This is real, heartfelt, genuine, you know, very, very captivating prayer that you make, very serious prayer that you're making on behalf of, it says here, all saints. But we're supplicating in the Spirit, which means only the Holy Spirit can help you do this, to supplicate for the saints. And so what we're trying to get in Ephesians 6:18 is this idea that there are all kinds of prayers. And if there's all kinds of prayers, it means there's different ways you can pray and different rules spiritually that govern or make them work properly. So we have to see in the Scriptures, how does prayer work? So most of the time people think about prayer in that general way. And we talked about prayer. Prayer is really communicating with God, talking to God or talking with God. You talk to God, God talks to you. And so that's what prayer is all about. And one kind of prayer that most people are familiar with, and that is just asking God something. And so that is, you know, the prayer petition, asking God for something that you want in your life, a need perhaps. So that's one kind of prayer, is asking God for something. And so there are rules that make it effective or efficient for us to pray. And so we have to know what they are in order for us to understand if we got our answer. We should know that we have our answer when we're praying. Otherwise, that wouldn't be faith. You don't want to pray in the dark. You want to pray with rules. You want to pray with understanding that you're following something according to the plan of God, according to what He says in His Scriptures. So, all kinds of prayers. All kinds of rules, spiritual laws that make them work or govern them. If you go to John 15, verse 7, Jesus is speaking to his disciples again. And he's talking about prayer. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, the word abide means to live in, to have, you know, residency inside you. You're living in God. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. We were told when we were in school there with Dr. Hagin, he said, you know, in Ephesians chapter 15, verse 7, the scripture really identifies something for us, and that is there's a number of times that by the Spirit of God it mentions you in there. If you think about it this way, answered prayer or successful prayer really depends on you more than it does on God. God already set up the plan how we should approach Him. It's incumbent upon us to realize and to learn how to follow. Know the rules. Know how to approach God and understand the application. If you abide in me, well, how do you abide in God? That is, you abide in God through being born again. And then you live in Him. And my words abide in you. In other words, the word is not just something on a piece of paper, but His word is a living word. Amen. It's inside you. Amen. Amen? So my words abide in you. And then when His word is in you, in your spirit, and has really renewed your mind, you're going to ask what you will. That is, in reference to, inside of, the word of God, you'll ask what you will. And it shall be done unto you. Well, this is how we know our prayers are answered, if we ask God something that's inside of His will. So we can't pray outside of the will because it's not going to be answered. For instance, we gave a scripture earlier, and I believe it's 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. It says, this is the confidence that we have. Well, we want to have confidence in our prayer. This is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything, that is anything inside of the covenant, anything inside of the Word. If we ask anything, you know, according to His will, His will is His Word, we will have the petitions, the requests that we have asked of Him. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Well, how do you know that you have your prayers answered? Simply if you're praying inside of the will. When you know the will, you can pray confidently, knowing that God will answer you because you're coming according to His will. He set it up, and you come in. Thank God we're covenant people. We're covenant people, and we believe God. You know, Jesus cut the covenant, you know, and He'll never break His word to us. Thank God for that. Amen? Thank God that He will never break His word. His word is always the same. He's the same Jesus forever. Now, I want to talk about specifically the prayer of commitment. Now, we also call this the prayer of commitment, dedication, all right, and consecration. The prayer of dedication, consecration, and commitment. That is when we want to dedicate our lives to God. And you can do that any time of the day or any hour. You might even do that more than one time a day. Anytime a special occasion comes along and you come at a crossroads and you don't know what to do, so you come and say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I want to stay in Your will, so I'm going to submit my life to You and I'm going to yield to Your word. And whatever You want me to do, I'm going to do that. I consecrate. I dedicate my life to You. My energy is Yours. My resources are Yours. My time is Yours. And I'm going to dedicate my life to You. This is what we're talking about. This is the prayer of commitment. Hallelujah. And you ought to look at the word commitment. Commitment I hear the rushing winds. A commitment is when you do something that you know God wants you to do, and you're going to do it regardless of how you feel about it, when it might infringe on your freedom or freedom. It does. It infringes on your freedom. I remember the day. I'll never forget it, that I made a dedication to serve God again, and it was without reservation. We'll talk about that a little later. And I came to God and said, Lord, He came to me first to let me know that He had a plan for me. I walked out of the school at the University of Manitoba. I was about to finish my master's degree and going on to my PhD. And the Lord talked to me. He stopped me. He arrested me. He said to me to go into the ministry. And so I made a commitment to Him. And you know, if I would have known what I was going to give up, if I would have known how difficult it was going to be, I would have never made that commitment in my own fleshly desires. And there's times I really wanted to not follow God because I always thought I had a better plan. I know some of you don't think that way, but I did. I thought I had a better plan, Lord. There's a better way of doing this. And Jesus prayed the same prayer. He said, if there's another way, I want to do it. And yet He was the Son of God. The Bible says that He suffered obedience to follow His Father. And you and I are going to suffer some things in life, in this life. If you really want to follow God, you will suffer obedience, and your flesh will not want to follow God. And then sometimes you think your plan is the best way, but it's really not. And so you go ahead and bless yourself, thinking that it's a better way. But God's already, He's got a better plan. How many people can say amen on that? He's got a better plan. Yeah? Okay. Now, go to Matthew 26. Specifically speaking, we're talking about the prayer of commitment. The prayer of commitment, the prayer of dedication and consecration to God. Matthew 26, 39. I'm reading the King James Version. And he went a little further and fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Can you hear the humanness or the human side of Jesus talking? I mean, the Bible said he became man like you and me, and he had to be anointed by the Spirit of God to do ministry. If Jesus was just God himself walking around, who was going to anoint God? He was anointed by the Spirit to do the Word of God and whatever he had to do. Let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. We could see this in different versions later on. So the prayer of consecration and dedication and commitment is a prayer that Jesus made before he went to the cross. And he died, and before he died, and he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he made a dedication to follow the plan of God at no matter what cost. He knew the cost was high, but he still made his commitment to his Father to fulfill the will and the plan and the purpose of God. We will all have that opportunity someday to come to that place. Maybe have our own Garden of Gethsemane experience ourselves. We'll be at a crossroads whether or not to follow him fully. And we'll have to make a stand somewhere along the line. Without any reservation, we'll either follow God, or we're going to follow the world where Satan is God or Lord, or we're going to follow our own selfish plans. And the Word of God says in Jeremiah 29, in verse 11, I believe it is there. I see I have a wrong reference, but it's verse 11, that God has a good plan. A plan that has no disaster, no destruction in it. And sometimes, you know, we as Christians, we'll take a detour. We'll say we're following God, but we take a detour and do some things, and we get into trouble, maybe financial, maybe marital, relational, maybe employment-wise, maybe education. I don't know what it is. We just take a plan, and we go into what we call the permissive will of God. It's not against the plan. It's not against God directly, but it's not really in the will of God. You're in a gray area. And that is where that Satan has access to you more than any other place. You might not be doing the same things you used to do when you were in the world, but then you're doing what you want to do. And then you might have the occasion where Satan can access you more readily than he would inside the hovering of God's, you know, umbrella. God says if we stay with him, he'll protect us no matter what. You know, we studied that God is with us, God is for us, and we see under that protection that God puts over us, the Bible says he puts like a cloud over us, or an umbrella over us. You know, in the 23rd chapter, it gives us this idea. It shows us that thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know, the devils are here, they're everywhere, but they don't have access to you. They can't get to you. Why? Because you're at the table with God, you're there with him. And it's important that we stay with the plan of God. So, you know, I heard very important men that I watched over the years that I've based my life around and followed them as mentors. And they said every time they had a physical attack, a heart attack, or something wrong with their lives, you know, very disastrous. They said God came to them. Jesus came to them in a vision and said, it's because you went off and did your own thing. You got off my will and where Satan had access to you. And so they said, well, you know, you better get back in. Follow the plan of God. And so we want to follow the plan of God so that we can avoid problems. Now let's talk about it again. Go back. This whole prayer of dedication, commitment, and consecration. This prayer of dedication is one of the most misunderstood prayers in the church. And Jesus said, not what I will, but what your will is. I want to do what you want me to do. This verse has been largely misunderstood. It has been caused maybe confusion for many people in the church, mostly because they didn't grasp the understanding of how to use that phrase, if it's thy will or thy will be done. When we lack the scriptural understanding around this scripture, this prayer, we can mislead ourselves and maybe other people because we use this scripture. Because sometimes people don't know some things. If you're praying the prayer petition, this is not a prayer to use. Because in the prayer petition, you have to be very specific at what you want according to the will. Philippians 4:6 says, bring your request to the Lord. So what is your request? Based on scripture. Because if you're going to get a request, it has to be based on the Bible. God is not obligated to bless you to do whatever you want outside of scripture. And sometimes people pray that God bless me, and someone said this, God is not obligated to bless your selfish plans. He doesn't have to. He doesn't want to bless your selfish plans. That doesn't mean you can't have fun, because the Bible says there's a whole lot of fun serving God. Did anybody ever discover that yet, or you just look like you didn't? Okay, so this misappropriation of this Bible verse can cause, you know, what we call prayer failure. This prevents many people to go to God for themselves because they don't know what God wants for them or for their life. And so they're asking everybody else to pray and look for someone, you know, that knows something about God and let them pray for me. And this is what I see wrong in the church, is that we don't know how to pray for ourselves. Nobody taught us. Our church has never taught us. I never learned that in church as a kid. I always thought, okay, just Lord, just bless them. If somebody's sick, just bless them. You know, if not, may your will be done. And so the will is that God wants us. You know, how do you appropriate the scripture? Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 3, and it says there, that children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is a commandment with a promise that all will go well with you. That means you'll be successful in all everything you do. And that you'll live long on the earth. Well, how long is long? Well, you might be the one that determines that. Psalm 91:16 says, you know, with long life will I satisfy him. Well, I'm beginning to believe for more. So science or statistics tell us that 70 and 80 years is the norm for everybody, whether you're Christian or not, whether you're godly or ungodly. 70 to 80 years is what's promised to humanity. And you know some wicked people who live long. And so why some people who actually, you know, you say, why? Only the good die young. Maybe they died young because they didn't know any better. They didn't know what the scripture says. And God, the devil surely wants to attack good people because he knows they're going to be helpful to the kingdom, for the kingdom of God. And so if you're ignorant, you know, Hosea 4:6 says, what does it say? People are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So we want to be knowledgeable in what God says. So that's the only, we all can stand on the word of God that we know. So here we go. People are asking everybody else to pray for them. Somebody asked this morning, one of my prayer friends, I wasn't mean about it. They said, please, everybody, I don't feel well. Please pray for me. Well, that's fine. I mean, I guess. But really, I don't go in there and tell people I'm not feeling that good. Maybe I need to stop eating beans at night or something. Check on my own behavior. So I said, you know what? Just go ahead and claim the covenant. Just go ahead and claim what the Bible says. And 1 Peter says, you know, that God wants us to enjoy health. Just go ahead and claim the Bible and just believe and say, hey, thank God. I'm taking part. I'm believing for my covenant, right? And that is, healing is part of the covenant. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 said it belongs to us. That God put a penalty on Jesus. He suffered for me. And besides that, you know, Deuteronomy 28, verse 61 said, every sickness and every disease is a curse of the law. Galatians 3, 13 says, but thank God, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. And healing belongs to me. Healing is a blessing. So I claim that according to Scripture. And so we do that. So let's go and read Mark chapter 14, verse 32, 36 for a second. We'll see something here. They went to the olive grove called Gethsemane. I'm reading here. I believe it's the, I'm not sure what, the NLT. Yeah. Let's go ahead and read this. They went to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, sit here while I go and pray. He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became very deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Verse 35, he went on a little further and fell to the ground, and he prayed that if it were possible that the awful hour awaiting him might pass from him. Abba, Father, he cried out, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. Jesus here used the phrase, if it be thy will, in this prayer to the Father. And many have used this phrase. At the end, they use this prayer, or this quotation of this part of the verse, this phrase, if it be thy will. And they tack it on at almost every end of their prayer and say, if it's your will. But Jesus never used that prayer in other areas except this dedication and consecration commitment to God. And so we don't use this phrase, especially if we're going to pray the prayer of commitment or the prayer of faith for ourselves or for somebody you love. That if you're suffering, for instance, somebody called me this morning and asked me to pray with them, and they said, would you please pray with me? And, you know, we should always pray for anybody anytime they want to. But normally, you have to grow sometimes, right? And so we know, understand that. I understand this. You understand this. Or we should all understand this. We should always pray for people who don't know anything about the Bible. But people who are taught should understand something a little bit more. You expect something more from a grown adult than you would if a 10-year-old kid was talking to you. You know, I mean, and there's times we do need help with the prayer of agreement sometimes in some areas. But it's not always a practice for every time you pray. Because there's some things that the Bible says that you take to your closet yourself. Jesus said in the 6th chapter of Matthew, you take your prayer time, your prayer closet, your prayer request to God yourself. And you talk to God about them and lift them up to the Lord. Like, you know, it's not our responsibility to take each other's prayer requests to the Lord. And there's times we do that. Yes, we do that for baby Christians. And we do that sometimes for people who are away from God and they don't know how to get back from God. They're lost in darkness. And so we need to pray. That's called the prayer of intercession. And so we can do that. You know, thank God. You know, I'm encouraged to read Scripture sometimes. I was so blessed last night, I had to get up out of my bed. And something happened last night where our dogs, they're like little kids. My wife had to sleep with one of our little puppies last night. I don't know if you ever, anybody ever sleep with a puppy? Well, two or three people. The rest of you are liars. You know, you sleep with a puppy? Yeah. Yeah, we do. So anyway, you know, let's skip this. We'll come back to this later. But anyway, for a little while, sometimes you take your puppy. Anyway, the Lord saying, if it be thy will, indicating his willingness to follow God's plan and suffer for humanity on the cross. Most of us have used this phrase sometime when we've done that when we don't know God, what God wants us to do. Most of the time is the prayer of dedication to God. Sometimes you don't know everything. We don't know what God, most of the time by faith, we don't know everything what God wants us to do. But he said, we're going to do this, and no matter what happens, we're going to follow you, Lord. But then something bad happens, and you start thinking, did I make the right commitment? Was I too eager to say yes in following the plan of God? Are you still following me? Yeah. You're not going to sleep? Okay, so I want to see, because sometimes, you can sense, you need some pull, you need some help. So especially if we're going to pray, the will of God, we need to understand this. So the purpose of this prayer, ultimately, is to pray to lay down your life for the purposes of God, for the plan of God, for your life. This deals with three major areas. I'm sure you can find other reasons, but there are three major things that you deal with when you pray this prayer. First of all, it deals with your willingness to follow God. Your willingness. You know, how many people know that God will supply even the willingness to follow Him? Like, there's times when you don't feel like, I want to follow God. I don't want to do this, Lord. I don't want to go to this. I don't want to take this. I don't want to take this job. I don't want to move. I don't want to, whatever. But God will supply the willingness to do whatever it takes. And most of the time, 99% of the time, your flesh is not going to want to do the things that God wants you to do. So, number one, this prayer deals with this major area, and that is our willingness to follow God no matter what the cost may be. It lays down no conditions. It does not compromise with God. It says, yes, I will. I'll follow you, God, unconditionally. And this is something we must do with God, particularly at a large crossroad in our lives, to follow Him. And many of us maybe could have been a lot further, spiritually speaking, in our lives if we would have done this, if we would have learned it earlier. Because you'll not get away without having some disturbance. Jesus said, of course, you know scriptures, I think it was Psalm 34, 19, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from half of them. No. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he delivers them from all of them. All of them. All the troubles, God will deliver you. You find that in scripture. He will deliver you. Number two, it'll deal with complete obedience to God. Sometimes we want to just half serve God. We want to half serve God. Sometimes we want to put one foot in the world, and half a foot over here. And so we get into trouble. It's uncomfortable. So it requires complete obedience to fulfill God's perfect plan for our lives. Even on a daily basis, there's times that you struggle. You have to say, Lord, not what I want. Because there's temptations. How many people know there's temptations everywhere? There's even temptations to feel sorry for yourself when you're following the plan of God. You know, it's easy to feel sorry for yourself, but how many know if you feel sorry for yourself, you know, you're not in faith, because you can't feel sorry for yourself and follow at the same time. Now, I didn't say you're not going to feel that. I'm just saying that you're not going to give in to it. You know, because if you do, it's difficult. Now, so the third one, it's a prayer that you pray. It's not a prayer that you pray for other people. That I can't pray to dedicate you to God. But I can pray that prayer dedicated myself to God. This is a prayer that I pray for myself. There's other kind of prayers that I make. So this is a prayer that I pray to make my dedication and commitment to God personally. So in other words, it's your responsibility to make this commitment to God and to pray this prayer regularly, to consecrate your life to His plan, to dedicate your life, to be willing to do whatever it takes, even to go against your wants. So we must follow God without reservation. We must be willing to do what God wants us to do, no matter what, where it takes us. The Bible says that Abraham was willing to follow God even though he didn't know exactly where it would take him. Hebrews chapter 8, chapter 11, verse 8 says that Abraham went not knowing where he went, and yet he went by faith. The Bible says that he was enumerated with the heroes of faith. By faith he followed. And no matter what the plan entails, or how it might disrupt your personal plan that your own wants, you're willing to follow God. And it's not easy. Wasn't easy for Jesus. It's not going to be easy for you, because sometimes it'll deal with your obedience. It'll deal with things. It'll disrupt your own personal plans. Yeah, but every year I go on vacation and do this. Well, maybe God says, hey, do something different this year. I mean, that's just, you know, I'm just using that as an example. It could be. Every year we do this, I do this, or I buy this for myself. The Lord might say, well, give that to Pastor Roma this year, because he's 65. Okay, guys, that's just a joke. I'm not saying you have to do anything for me right now. I didn't ask for this, but sometimes people do. They think it's great. I think it's great. So we need to ask ourselves some very serious questions here. Would I be willing to let go of my personal plans that I enjoy in order to follow God? I'm sure every one of those disciples had to think about this and say, hey, you know, do I want to follow the Lord? I have a business here. I'm running a business. What are people going to say if I follow God? I remember as a strong Catholic, I was being a real strong Catholic boy. I grew up going to church all my life. My cousin Ed, I don't know where he is, somewhere here. Me and him used to walk to church when we were little boys. We walked to church. When I became born again, I went to visit my pastor. It was a priest. And I said, you know, I just dedicated my life to Jesus. I got born again. And I was watching Billy Graham. I really knew that I was born again. I had a tremendous experience with God that I got born again. Everything changed in a moment of time. Bang. Depression left me. Things left me. Bondages left me. And the sky was brighter. And the birds were singing. Everything was wonderful. I got born again. And I was so happy, thinking that everybody's going to be happy with me. So I knocked on the priest's door. And I made that appointment. I'm just so happy. I'm going to say, hey, I'm born again. I want to get, I want you to, I want to get baptized. Well, needless to say, that wasn't a very good thing to say there. But, you know, and then what happened after that is that people that I knew said to me, you changed your religion. And the pressures after that came on as a young 20-year-old man. And, you get pressure after from people, and you have to make those decisions. And sometimes, I realized this after that, sometimes you have to stand alone on some things. And no one's going to make that commitment for you and with you. There's sometimes you have to make a commitment yourself to stand on some things without any help from anybody else. There's a time and place that will happen in your life. And if it hasn't happened yet, it will. There's going to be a time in your life. So, to use our own money, our time, our energy, it might take some serious thought to answer some of these questions, to really get down to it. Laying down your life will be a continual practice to follow God for the rest of your life. Particularly, this prayer is one prayer that we visit on a, not just every once a year at New Year's celebration service. No, this is something you do on a regular basis. As God unfolds His plan, as He shows you something, as you grow in the Lord, and God says, listen, I've allowed you to do that. Now I want you to drop that. I want you to do this for me, and so on. That's going to happen on a regular basis. The Bible says that Jesus said, John 15:13, greater love had no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. John 15:13, the Amplified says, no one has greater love. No one has shown stronger affection than to lay down or give up his own life for his friends. Can you give up your life for your friends? Can you just, give your life for someone to help out and be a blessing to somebody else? Knowing that, a lot of us that grew up in church, when we start serving God, we join a church, and we think it's very it's awesome, man, that I join a church. And then you find out it's real. It's people. And people rub you the wrong way, or they offend you, or you get hurt when you work with people. How many know that you get hurt when you work with people? But you have to work that out and understand you walk by love. It takes time for us to grow in love. And the only way you know how strong your love is when you work with people. And recognize your love ain't that strong as you thought it would be, as it was. It's still easy to live by love while watching Christian television and never being involved with people. But you know great love when you start working with people on a weekly basis, day to day. And not every Christian is going to be nice to you when you're serving God. I can tell some of my ushers sometimes, when they come in, people are mean to them sometimes. And I don't have to listen to you. I'll sit over here where I want to sit. How would you like to be an usher with somebody like you? It does take some training. You have to take care of your own emotions and whatever. And why should I be praying for those guys? They don't deserve any prayer. Well, none of us deserve that. There's no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. So obedience is the key. Jesus said, Isaiah said, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Well, I want the best from God, but it takes obedience to get God's best. So we have to obey God. And Jesus certainly learned this when he had to suffer. The scripture says, in order to follow God, there's times that we suffer. There's some suffering involved in following the plan of God for our own lives and for other people. We may have to leave behind things or friends or environments or different things that we love and the activities we might enjoy in this life. It takes time and effort to follow God for our life. We have to take note here. Look it over here in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8, it says, though Jesus was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. And Jesus was our example. That there's sometimes we're going to have to do some little bit of suffering. Not suffering, physical pain and all that. I'm just talking about suffering because, sometimes your emotions get hurt, but you have to say, no, you know what? I realize my emotions were hurt, but I'm going to continue to follow God. To follow His plan, even though. It says here, the TPT says, even though he was a wonderful son, he learned to listen and obey through all his sufferings. Let's look at one more example, and we'll shut it down here. I realize we're getting ahead here. Long, long time. So here is Acts chapter 20, verse 22, 24, the King James Version, reading about the Apostle Paul. And, you know, he had to give up a lot of stuff. The scriptures talked about he learned obedience, and he suffered. The Apostle Paul was willing to suffer persecution, personal sufferings, setbacks, even being thrown in jail for obeying God. And how far are we willing to follow God? At some point, it pays to follow God and His plan. Wherever He calls us. Notice what Paul's commitment. And I remember something here to lay before you. Remember the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And they made a decree. The king made it. And of course, he was coerced also in doing it. That he made the statue, and whoever doesn't bow down to the statue will be thrown into the fiery furnace. And so anybody who doesn't do it is going to be thrown in. And so the three Hebrew children, they were being spied on by other people who were trying to destroy them. They were, had some other issues. And so they said, "We're not going to do it." So they wouldn't do it. And it was reported to the king. So these three Hebrew children that you brought in, they're not bowing down to the statue you made. You said you threw them into the fire. Anybody who doesn't will be thrown in the fire. So the king met with them and said, "Is this true?" He said, "Yes, it's true. We will not bow down to your image. And even if you throw us in, we know our God will rescue us." How many people know that God will rescue you? Impossible situation. He said, it's impossible. If the king said it, and you broke the law, and you got it. He said, "Our God will rescue us from your hands." That's your faith talking. And here's your commitment speaking. And even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down. That's their dedication talking. And this is our dedication. That no matter what, I'm going to follow God. Listen, you came to God and you gave your life to God before you had the problems that you're experiencing now. So why are you negating the fact that you're not going to follow God because some person in your life is disturbing your peace? And that she's not, you made a decision before you made a commission, dedication to somebody else. Before you had children. Before you married him or her, you made a dedication to God. That you're going to follow him. And so there's times that we have to make this. Let's go ahead and read this last scripture here. Apostle Paul said this. Now he knew he had to go to Jerusalem, Acts 20, 22, 24. "And now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." You might not know everything. Save that, or said, except that the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. In other words, he says, "Hey, I'm going, but the Holy Spirit is telling me there's going to be tough days ahead. Even if I follow God, there's going to be some tough times ahead. Bonds and afflictions. Hey, prison time. I mean, he's going to be put in jail. He's going to get beaten. Verse 24 says, "But none of these things move me, neither do I count my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course." How dear is that, to finish your course, the dedication and submitment to God, and commitment to God there? Finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, music team, we're going to come up here and we're going to close with, we're going to receive the communion as we leave here. The Bible says, as they come up, I just want to remind you something, that God will give you the desire and the grace to follow Him. But you don't do this on your own. When you make a commitment to God, you don't do it on your own. Let me just give you the scripture to remind you. Philippians chapter 2 and 13 and 14. "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him." God is working in you right now. Glory to God. If you're ready, you can stand up. We want to take communion together. Lord, I want to thank you this morning as we leave this room. As we pray the prayer of commitment and rededication to you, to serve out your purposes, to serve out your plan for our lives, we thank you, Lord, for what you have done in our lives, what's been manifested in our lives so far. And so we're thinking right now about our own salvation experience. And it's been tough in some areas because maybe I haven't followed you to a T in where and what I should be doing. But with full knowledge that I might not always know your plan. I might not know everything. I'm willing to come into this commitment again by faith. And knowing that you will always help me, that you will always uplift me and uphold me, knowing that you empower me to do your will, that I know that I'm not doing this myself. It's by your grace that I do it. Your mercy is with me every day. And you give us the power, the ability to do whatever it takes to follow your plan. That's what you said in your word. And so right now, as a church, individuals and people watching online, we dedicate ourselves to you. Everybody says, dear Lord, I dedicate my life to you to serve out your purposes. And no matter what it takes, unreservingly, I give you my life to do whatever pleases you. Thank you, Lord, for the grace and the power to carry it out. So I want to thank you for the peace of God ruling in my heart. So now I take this communion and remember your broken body that was broken for me and the blood that was shed for me to make this new covenant a reality. And so we take this bread to remember that you were broken for us. And drink this juice, symbolic of the blood that would ran down that cross and upon your head and your forehead and all your body, so that I can have healing and health. And I want to thank you for breaking every bondage in this room. Anybody that has bondage, anybody that's out there watching that has bondage to any kind of disease, sickness, or whatever it is, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful plan. Thank you for your wonderful purpose. Thank you for the people. I pray for all the people that are here and their families, their children, grandchildren. You said to the children's children that your plan is for our children and their children and their children's children and on and on and on. Your mercy extends to them. And we stand on it. We count on it. We bless your name. We thank you for it. Thank you, Lord.